Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Jenna Ellis, and welcome to Just the Truth podcast, sponsored by the Thomas More Society, which is a not-for-profit national public interest law firm dedicated to restoring respect in law for life, family, and religious liberty. You can find them at thomasmoresociety.org.
The shooting yesterday in Colorado has renewed the gun control debate, including a Senate hearing today on a measure that would increase background checks for gun owners. I have to question the timing of this scheduled hearing and the events yesterday. Was this perfectly timed to renew the debate and give Joe Biden and the Democrats a pretext for their agenda? Conservatives must keep one thing very clearly in mind. Democrats are trying to enforce collective guilt on every American for the actions of a single individual. Our Constitution and our system of government doesn't work that way. Whether we're talking about the Second Amendment or any other right that is specifically protected in our Bill of Rights, the presumption legally is that every American has the freedom and liberty to exercise our fundamental rights. Only when an individual chooses to violate the law and, through due process, is convicted of that violation, can the government constitutionally punish a person by restricting their liberty. But what's happening with the gun control debate from the left is inverting that presumption. Because of the actions of a few evil people, all Americans are treated as presumptive offenders. And we are now being forced to prove to the government our fitness to exercise our fundamental rights. That's insane. We don't do this in this country. Our government has no power to force us to prove to them why we can exercise our rights. But the left pretends that gun control is somehow the solution for moral evil in the culture. Rather than understanding that our Constitution is built on the principles of both liberty and justice for all, they want to take away liberty and pretend that's justice. We can't allow it. It would be the same as if we had to get the government's permission first to exercise freedom of the press. Do you seriously think that CNN or the New York Times or any other leftist rag would have been fine asking permission of the Trump administration to publish, to have to prove that they'll be responsible journalists? Liberty doesn't work that way in a free society. We only hold responsible the individual offenders who violate a pre-established law. We never say that just because one individual was irresponsible and a criminal, then the government can presume everyone is until we prove that we aren't. But that's what the Democrats are doing with red flag laws, extreme background checks, limitations on what types of firearms or magazine capacity may be purchased, and even some Republicans are buying into it. Mainly because they either allow the leftists to frame the debate, or they are simply advocates for government solutions to absolutely everything. But the truth is that the Constitution does not give Congress any legislative authority over issues like gun control. In fact, the purpose of the Second Amendment and the entire Bill of Rights is to tell Congress what specific fundamental rights they cannot legislate on. It may seem like a totally crazy idea in 2021, but the government is not the only entity that can or should provide solutions to the problem of evil in the world. The government's role and responsibility here has already been met. Colorado has laws on the books like every other state against murder. The individual should be held responsible and prosecuted for his actions. That doesn't in any way justify the federal government to issue any wide-sweeping executive orders or legislation that punishes you and me for that one guy's crime. Why should you be held responsible for his crime? We never do that in a free society. That's against liberty. That's not justice. And that's not just a violation of our Second Amendment protections, but it's also a violation of due process. This is why the whole Constitution matters, and it matters in relation to the Declaration of Independence, because your and my rights are pre-political. The government bears the burden of proving why I am an unfit gun owner, an unfit parent, or have committed any criminal act of any other accusation, bearing legal consequences when my rights are at stake. The government must presume that I am a fully fit citizen. We care about how our government is allowed to treat us based on someone else's actions. This is the heart of the matter for conservatives. Even if the Second Amendment was repealed tomorrow, as some have suggested and even called for, nothing about the government's obligation to protect your liberty would change. The government would not be able to change its legal presumption toward us and assume that we are criminals. But once the government can shift the burden and make you prove your fitness and competency, then the government is treating you like a presumptive criminal. That is unconstitutional. And this isn't problematic only in the context of the gun control debate and our right to self-protection. It's also problematic when applied to parental fitness, exercising religious freedom, speech, economic choices, mask mandates, vaccines, and any other legitimate action and choice that I, as an American citizen, have liberty and freedom in. This is what conservatives mean by protecting liberty. We are preserving freedom and protecting against the government, presuming that we do not have legitimate free exercise of our rights or that we have to get the government's permission to exercise them. Liberty means that the government does not have the authority to punish me before I have chosen to act contrary to the law. Even in the midst of heartbreaking, heinous crimes and tragedies like what happened in Colorado, we cannot allow the leftists to use that tragedy as a pretext or to allow the government to remove our individual presumption of innocence collectively. This isn't just about your gun. It's about every single individual's fundamental right to liberty, and liberty is absolutely worth protecting. Our founders pledged their very lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor defending it. So must we. Liberty and justice for all. For more on this topic, listen to my Just the Truth podcast, wherever you stream your podcasts. We have to be equipped as American citizens to defend our rights and to preserve our liberty for ourselves and for the next generation. That's why these conversations are so important. Keep speaking and defending truth. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Just the Truth. And I have, talking about all of the women's issues and everything that we have been debating in society today, my good friend, the president and CEO of Concerned Women for America, Penny Nance. So Penny, thank you so much for joining me here on Just the Truth.
I'm so excited. This is your third week. I'm just really honored that I got on the front end of this. So thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Well, and I think actually you're my first female guest. Which of course I had to bring out.
Honored. So, right. Yeah. Flames Nation. Here we are.
Yes, absolutely. Shout out to our friends at Liberty University.
Right.
Absolutely. But, so we've been talking today, of course, mm-hmm. and through everything that happened yesterday about the Second Amendment and why it's so important mm-hmm. to protect liberty. And one of the biggest issues for concerned women for America, of course, is pro-life.
That's right.
And I've seen in the midst of the liberal leftist pushback, people are saying, well, how can you as Christians mm-hmm. and as conservative advocates be pro-Second Amendment and pro-life? Isn't that a contradiction? What do you say?
Not at all. I will say first that at Concerned Women for America, we have a range of views and opinions. It's not one of our core issues, but I have very strong opinions on it because I am a survivor of an attempted rape, an assault, a physical assault, an attempted rape on a running path in Virginia in broad daylight years ago. It really changed the way I viewed my safety. And so, and by the way, I grew up in Appalachia. And so it wasn't odd to have firearms. And I learned very early, my dad was a pastor and he thought it was perfectly normal to take your 16-year-old daughter out in the back and teach them how to, shoot a target. And it was very safe. You're out in the country. Mm-hmm. And so, I already was familiar, but I think that when that happened, you know, 24 years ago, it'll be 25 years this summer, that something in my brain clicked and I thought, I have to protect myself. The police can't be with you every minute. My husband can't be with me every minute. I have to be responsible for my own safety. So I own a .38 Special. Mm-hmm. I have a firearm in my home. I have one in my, in, you know, I don't know if I should tell this or not, but I have one in my desk drawer at my office. And I think it was even more driven home to me the importance of protecting my staff and protecting my family, my friends, and myself when the, you know, there was the attack at Family Research Council years ago. And so, you know, I don't think anybody likes to think about that, but many gun owners, I believe, particularly women, we come at it a safety standpoint. It gives us confidence. You know, when I was at, when I bought my gun, the interesting thing is I was at a gun show, actually, is where I bought it, and at a, you know, and they did the background check, they did the state check, they did, you know, the whole thing, and which actually I didn't find difficult. But there was every kind of person there. And a same-sex couple, woman couple, were buying their exact, my exact same gun, and we were like comparing and, you know, all that together. So it just was not, you know, it wasn't particularly, you know, right-wing Christian conservatives at the show. I think it's all different kinds of women.
Which is how the left tries to frame the argument, is saying, well, it's just you conservatives and you somehow just love your guns. And, you know, there was someone, we were talking right before the show, of someone on Twitter who actually said, well, you know, being pro-Second Amendment was making this argument that somehow then you're pro murder and pro mass murder. And it's just that correlation is so ridiculous. Right. I mean, as you're describing, the entire point of the Second Amendment is for self-protection against other individuals who would do us harm, but also against an overreaching government. And so so that's getting back to also to the pro-life issue, I mean, this is about preserving life.
That's right. Well, I had a friend of mine and that his mother, sweet Catholic mom, and again, I think this is a nuanced conversation, and when you just go for the jugular on it, I think you miss the opportunity to have the conversation. And so she's a sweet Catholic mom and very pro-life, and she said, I don't understand. She said, you're pro-life, but, and she said, I'm pro-life, but I don't support guns. And she said, but you do. How do you square those two things? And I said, because a gun in my hands is pro-life. I will protect others with it. It is about safety for me. And so, you know, we could love each other and bless each other and have a disagreement. But, you know, I find it odd, you know, if we're going to talk about this, let's flip it the other way. You know, you're anti-gun, you're anti-destruction of life, and I believe that. I will give that to you. But also, often many of those people don't support pro-life stances. I mean, we've had 60 million babies that have died since Roe v. Wade in 1973. We have elderly people who have perished from lack of care through this pandemic. We've had multiple, I mean, suicide stories. I fear for the day, and it takes about 2 years for those numbers to catch up. I fear for the day when we actually see the numbers that have the amount of suicide and human destruction that have come out of the isolation and the depression and the drug use and the alcohol abuse and through this time. So all that to say, it's very complicated. Let's have the real conversation so we can get to the best policy.
Yeah, and the key words that you said, they're human destruction. And that's what the conservative, and of course based on the truth of the biblical worldview of understanding the reality to which God has presented us, it's all about protecting against human destruction.
That's right.
So it's about protecting life at every stage from conception all the way until the end of natural life and making sure that we are able, through our own resources, like having the ability to keep and bear arms, we can protect life.
That's right.
It's about making sure that, you know, the little babies in the womb are protected. So it's all about making sure, and ultimately, you know, the gospel of Christ is about protecting against human destruction for eternity. So I think what you're describing is so important because The left tends to make these very broad brush statements, mm-hmm. and they're not seeing the inconsistency of their mm-hmm. own position of we know that mass murder is wrong. What happened in Colorado yesterday is so heinous.
Right.
But then they don't correlate that with being mm-hmm. Pro-life. And so what are you seeing in the pro-life arena with Concerned Women for America? Is there the shift of being, you know, really the pro-life generation that everyone mm-hmm. is saying with our young people? And what are the best arguments that you've seen mm-hmm. from maybe the younger generation?
Well, I'm just so grateful not only to get to represent Concerned Women for America, which tends to be, you know, the grown-up version, we say, but also Young Women for America. Mm-hmm. And we have a really thriving collegiate program as well for our Young Women for America chapters and ambassadors. So if anybody's interested, go to concernedwomen.org and you can find out about that or sign up at Concerned Women for their older chapter leadership. Mm-hmm. You're talking about sort of the pro-life generation, and I think it's true. I'm old enough to remember in the 90s when I was young and up and coming in the pro-life movement, that you had within the Republican Party people that were saying to us, you know, it's over, you've lost, we're a big tent now, just set it aside, you know, the pro-life movement's over. And all of us said, oh, not so fast. And, you know, you pair with that the fact that you had a group of people that so deeply believed in the intrinsic value of life, like you said, from conception to natural death, and at the entire spectrum, that we were unwilling to give up, and the generation before us. And then you had the invention of the sonogram, mm-hmm. and science proved the things that we were already saying. No right. one really believes it's a glob of cells anymore. Nobody believes that.
You have to have willful blindness.
Right, exactly.
Look at that.
A 2-second search on the internet and you will see, you know, the beautiful pictures of sonograms and 3D mm-hmm. sonograms and, you know, all of that's growing. It becomes sometimes, I think now, a fight over, yes, but it's my body and I don't care. Or often it's, I don't know what to do. And so I think you have a group of young women now let me back up and say, we also have grown up, I believe, as a movement from the early years in which, you know, your pregnancy care centers, they called them back then crisis pregnancy centers, had some models of babies and a room in which you could do counseling, but it didn't have all the facilities and sonograms and doctors there to give medical care and really the full-blown portfolio of options for women down to all the way into taking women into our homes and caring for them. And so that's the truth of the pro-life movement. It's not just about legislation. It's not right. just that we want abortion to be illegal. And I'm not the first person to say this, but I think it's said really well. We don't want abortion just to be illegal. We want it to be unthinkable. We want there to be so much opportunity and so many better alternatives. And we're willing to invest in that in every single way, in our time, our treasure, our prayers, every single way that makes those options just beautiful and vital options so that the other idea of death is not even contemplated because yeah. we have better options. So we have come so far as a movement, and then it gets to your question about the younger generation. This is, they all have their own sonogram pictures.
Right.
You know, time was on our side. My children own their own sonograms, and mm-hmm. anyone is to say, well, it's not a life, like, well, actually, here's me. And they know that it's a life, and they actually can have the tools in order to offer resources to their friends, and they're passionate, and they're engaged, and they love the issue, and they care about the issue. And I look forward to next year's March for Life when it, yes. you know, we can get back to a normal world and bring all those beautiful young women and young men to Washington to speak up for the least of these.
Yes, and continue speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so important, Penny, is to never recede from truth, just because there's a legislative effort or there's some kind of cultural movement that is pushing back against truth. We have to continue speaking truth. And I want to talk to you when we come back from the break about the Equality Act and the war on women, because right now we're seeing that the war on women is all about the definition of biological sex, and we have to, as Christians, continue to make sure to speak the truth. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Continuing the conversation now with Penny Nance, who's the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America. So, Penny, right before the break, we were talking about the truth of the pro-life movement and the encouragement that the pro-life generation is happening. And now we see with the Biden administration this real war on women and the truth of the nature of biological women. And that men can't be women. They just, they can't. And I know that that's going to be hate speech out there, according to the leftists. But the truth of science and the truth of reality is that men can't become women. And so when we look at things like the Equality Act, I want to get your perspective on the dangers of that and how conservatives need to understand this issue.
Well, and I think what's interesting about the Equality Act is it's not just people like us that are opposing it. I mean, we're in coalition with a group called Women's Liberation Front. And they're so brave. They're self-described radical feminists. Many of them are lesbians and bisexuals, and they are furious about it because, as you know, this legislation, as into the 1964 Civil Rights Act, it redefines sex into gender, which is how you define yourself, right? So it equates with race the idea that any idea of yourself gender-wise, that is now protected. So it opens up schools, it opens up businesses, it opens up, you know, all sorts of cans of worms that really, in the long term, will hurt women. So talking about, you used to call it the war on women, and it really is. This legislation impacts impacts Title IX, which has to do with women's sports, and we very strongly believe that women deserve their own teams. You know about the Selena Soul case, of course, in Connecticut. You have runners, you have athletes who are filing suit now because their trophies and scholarships are being lost. But I also am very deeply concerned about women in prisons. I worked earlier on in my career.
Shelters and,
domestic violence shelters. Yes. But I worked for Prison Fellowship Ministries at one point in my career for Chuck Colson when he was still alive. And so I learned so much about women that are incarcerated and have, you know, just a deep, you know, compassion for them. I mean, you know, they made bad choices and found themselves in circumstances that they never could have imagined. Nobody plans to wake up one day and be an offender and be in prison, right? Nobody wants that. But the truth is, they can't leave. And I was just looking up a stat, and it was from a left-wing organization that posited that 86% of women that are incarcerated have been victimized with sexual assault at some point in their life, either in prison or before prison. So these are women that are already suffering, are having, you know, have issues, have in many cases been assaulted in the past, and they're sitting ducks when you put a man who in normal cases, in most cases, is larger to them than them, stronger than them, and it it's not necessarily even that someone who's transgender would necessarily assault them. What I'm saying is men that are perpetrators will say anything to get access to victims, and it makes them unsafe. And then you mentioned the domestic violence shelters. Again, women who have been victimized, they have a right to their privacy. They have a right to their safety and security. So We are very strongly opposed the quote-unquote Equality Act. It's the Inequality Act.
Yes.
And are working, again, alongside women who don't maybe agree with us on hardly anything else, but are willing to link arms on this because they feel so strongly about it.
Yeah, and I think it's really great that you're willing to partner with others and that they're willing to partner with Concerned Women for America.
It's been interesting, actually.
Yeah, and to say this is the truth of the matter and that we can actually agree on these types of things, because it tends to be in the debates in society, what do we disagree on? But nobody starts with the premise, well, what do we actually agree on? And, you know, and our founders, in the unanimous statement of the Declaration of Independence, they all recognized truth and agreed on that. Then when they were trying to build the society to best carry out that mandate, then there was all kinds of debate and there was, you know, all different ways of how we can do that, but they all unanimously agreed on and recognized truth. And that's what I'm seeing as well from a lot of, you know, the really leftist, what we might call rabid feminists, all the way up to you know, the complete opposite end of the spectrum of the conservative Christian women, that everyone in women's rights issues, we all agree on that truth.
Well, and because it's common sense, right? Yes. And it's innate. Yes. Like, we recognize that we were uniquely made, that we have, you know, we are the ones that are more vulnerable. We are the ones that nurse and generally care for our children. And so we have unique needs, and we recognize and have fought for the ability to have protections and specific carve-outs and protections for us based on these vulnerabilities. And it wasn't easy. I mean, Title IX wasn't easy, and you know, just basic small set-asides for women were not easy. You know, we often don't give credit to the feminist movement, and I don't like a lot of what they did, but they were right about that.
Yes.
And so what you're hearing is women who are intellectually honest that are willing to step forward and say, wait a minute. And what they tell us, what Women's Liberation Front has said to us is like, we reached out to others that were of our ilk, and they had no interest in hearing what we had to say. In fact, they betrayed them. And so here I am sitting down with you, like a Christian conservative who's supposed to hate me. And, you know, there's kindness and compassion and love there. So it has been really this opportunity to you know, share our values and to work alongside and show kindness and hopefully to be the essence of Christ to people in a way that we never would have been. And so we see the world as the field of evangelism for us, and we welcome the opportunity to share Christ in any way that we can.
And I really commend that in your work at Concerned Women for America, and that's so important to continue to speak truth. And when anyone recognizes truth and is willing to advocate for that, then it becomes, we can all link arms and we can make sure that we are continuing for a more perfect union.
That's
You know, and I want to go back to one other thing that you said in your initial description of what the transgender movement is doing, because you said something about this sort of decoupling between your biological sex versus your gender, which is something that you identify with. And I find it actually fascinating that same dualistic false narrative is the exact same thing that the pro-choice movement uses when they decouple the biological reality of an unborn child with this idea of personhood. Right.
Wow, that's
so
interesting.
And I've actually never thought of that until you described it that way, because I was just talking on my podcast today about that very issue of the decoupling of the biological reality from this nebulous, undefined spectrum of personhood. Right.
That's
true. when you have that, I think that's an interesting way that the left is attacking these issues, is that they're trying to say biology doesn't matter. It's just this spectrum. And so when we have personhood versus gender, it's all based on feelings.
Well,
right?
And you know, listen, it's interesting you're saying this, because it's making me think about things and sort of make a connection that I have believed that the underlying premise really of this is Gnosticism. It's nothing new.
Right.
I mean, this was around in for the first church, the first century church. It's this idea that the body and soul are not connected, and whatever you do in Rome, this was a powerful thought. And so I think what I have said and what I've said to pastors is, you have to speak truth. This is the the rearing of the head of an old pagan religion that if you don't prepare your young flock when they go to college, they're going to be seduced with it, whether they participate or just in their worldview are damaged. So do you want them to bow a knee to a false religion that says that God made a mistake? You are a mistake. Or are you willing to stand your ground even if it's uncomfortable, even if people say ugly things about you, even if people walk out of your service, even if the newspaper the next day criticizes you? Are you willing to do that? Or are you going to bow to a false religion? And so I think that's a kind of interesting connection there, because maybe it is similar. Maybe it is the sort of same thought. If body and spirit don't matter and truth doesn't matter, then those things, the reality doesn't matter, right?
Exactly. And then that becomes this whole subjective viewpoint epistemology of saying, my truth versus your truth, and objectivity doesn't matter. And
don't you hate that?
Yes.
This is my truth. Like, there's only one truth.
Yes.
Either it's true or it's false. There's not your truth and there's not my truth. There is truth.
Absolutely.
And when a Christian says that, it immediately raises a red flag that they clearly don't understand biblical worldview. They don't understand it.
Yeah, and so many, you were talking about pastors. I mean, so many pastors, it's unfortunate in America that they're not standing as firm as the first century Christians who were willing to go through persecution and other things that, we have religious liberty in this country as a protection, and thank the Lord we do.
Yes.
But they were willing to stand up for the truth, even in the midst of the culture and in the midst of whatever came for their day.
Yes.
And, and you mentioned there's nothing new under the sun. King Solomon said that, all the way back in the Old Testament. And that's true. And it's so important to stand firm in the truth. And I love how you said that. And, in the next segment, as we only have about a minute left, I want to talk with you also about some of the state legislation, because as we look at what's going on the federal level, then we tend to either be really encouraged because there's good conservative in office, or we're really disappointed about some other things. But the emphasis on the states and what the states are doing to legislate, I think, is really, really encouraging as well. So so we're going to be right back on Just the Truth, talking with Penny Nance, who is the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America. Definitely go to their website. Sign up if you are a woman. Everybody knows women. Your mom, your sister, your daughter. Everyone, to get involved in these issues, because women's issues should be based on truth. And we're going to talk about some legislation and also a very interesting court case that's trying to slyly undermine religious freedom and women's rights when we come back on Just the Truth.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Continuing the conversation here on Just the Truth with Penny Nance, who's the president and CEO of Concerned Women for America. So, Penny, we've been talking about everything kind of on the federal level of the Equality Act and some very interesting partners that, we all have as women in this this war and this cause that we're currently engaged in. But for a lot of people, they're not really focused on some of the stuff that's happening in the states. But you were telling me about some really great things, actually, that are happening in the states.
Well, and let me back up first and say, yes, we're very disappointed about the election because of what has happened, and we knew what would happen after that. It's certainly, the Biden administration's come after the Hyde Amendment. They flipped the Mexico City policy so that now we're funding abortion abroad by taxpayer money, could be as much as $100 million. They are now streaming money that President Trump cut out of the budget of Planned Parenthood, over $60 million in Title X, and funneling money to Planned Parenthood. And so it's everything bad that we knew would happen. We're fighting tooth and nail to preserve the Hyde Amendment, which is the biggest pot of money. And it's, it came into law in 1976, a Illinois congressman named Henry Hyde passed it in response to Roe v. Wade, and since that time it has saved over 2 million babies. The importance of the money is it equates to lives, right? What you fund grows, and when you fund abortion, it grows. The numbers grow. And by the way, we have a right to be conscientious objectors, not to have our money pay for that. So we're fighting tooth and nail on the federal level, but the good news, the bright spot in the last election was often on the state level, and the pro-life movement is very agile, and we adapt no matter what happens. We're not going away, and we're going to fight, and so there's a lot of gains being made in the state level and have been for a long time now. 19 laws were signed in 2020, and now we have heartbeat bills that are getting passed. We just had one in South Carolina and South Dakota. We have, you know, love them both laws that we're working to pass in the state of Kansas. We're working all over the country in order to protect life on the state level, because we believe that one day Roe v. Wade will flip, will change. And when that happens, it returns to the states, and we've got to do our work on the state level to protect life when that happens.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And we're seeing some of those challenges already, and I'm hopeful with now a conservative or a hopefully conservative majority on the Supreme Court that just the constitutional argument, I mean, even if you take the moral equation out of it, which of course the court should contemplate. Sure. I mean, the government has a legitimate interest in protecting life, but even if they look at this as a federal versus state issue, that's something that, you know, should be 9-0. This is a state issue, definitely not the federal government. Yes. But there was an interesting case that that you and I were talking about. I saw this. That is from a Satanist church, or they don't call themselves a church, but it's actually Satanists who are suing now the state of Texas, saying that their abortion laws are too restrictive, and they're actually saying that this is under a theory of religious freedom, that they want the ability to commit abortions as part of their sacrifices and part of their ritual.
Yes. And, well, first off, I just got to take a moment to recognize you've got the Church of Satan on the same side as Planned Parenthood, which I really don't find shocking. And you have a group of people who want to use abortion as part of their ritual. They say they have a ritual ahead of time for abortion. I don't know what happens. I read the article, and I even followed the link to kind of see what the Church of Satan did on this, and it was so disturbing I couldn't even finish the article. I mean, really, it was satanic.
They mean it.
They're not kidding.
Not even hyperbole.
They mean it. And but I think that it's really important to recognize that when you worship evil, which is really what this is, that it leads to abortion. Like, I think those two things make perfect sense. It is clear that when you end life, Satan loves death. He loves evil.
Right. It's the opposite of truth. And you know, the definition of truth, of objective truth, is everything that is the person of God. And so evil, of course, can be defined as anything apart from God. And so when you worship anything other than God, then you will get to the conclusion of evil. Yeah. And I find something even constitutionally really sinister about this case, because they're using the pretext of religious liberty. And obviously that's just so offensive to any rational person who's looking at this thinking literally human sacrifice as part of this ritual. But to use the pretext of religious freedom, I think they are trying to intimidate the courts to restrict religious liberty and to say that nobody can comment on abortion issues from a moral standpoint.
Well, and that's not new, actually. You know, this came up years ago. Concern Women for America and I personally, working again on behalf of Chuck Colson, worked with a bill that protected people in institutionalized persons, protecting their religious freedom. So the other side, the people of for the American Way types, the atheists, wanted to be like, well, you know, you've got what if they want to do human sacrifice in order to live out their religion? Then in your legislation would protect that. No. clearly not, and constitutionally no.
Right.
And so, and Congress was very thoughtful in it and recognized that that was, you know, a spacious argument. It wasn't true. And I think hopefully the court in Texas will also take the high road on this.
Absolutely. And I think that this just manifests why it's so important mm-hmm. not just to have the federal Congress and mm-hmm. federal judges, of course, that are appointed through advice and consent of the Senate on the federal bench appointed by the presidential administration, but also when you look at how different states appoint their judicial branch, mm-hmm. because we have to have really good written opinions, because what happens at the state and local level, I mean, the chief example right mm-hmm. now, of course, is out of my home state of Colorado with Jack Phillips, the cake
yes.
baker and masterpiece.
Yes.
So the
case
is
being persecuted, by the way.
Absolutely.
This is not about, what a false notion of civil rights. What about his
right.
civil rights?
Exactly.
They're being violated constantly. He is being yes. persecuted for his faith. And
yes.
it's just very clear.
Yes, and in those types of cases, when they get to the Supreme Court, a lot of people only will look at the legal issues involved, and they forget
right.
that it starts at the state level. It right. starts with an event. It mm-hmm. starts with what happens on the state level, and then how that then gets up through the courts into the Supreme Court, and then mm-hmm. is selected as one of the
That's
cases.
Right.
And it's important then mm-hmm. to have this type of framework to be able to have good decisions
right.
at the lower level. And so, I think voting is so
yes.
important.
Yes.
And
I mean,
of
this
the work
is why
doing.
We fought so hard for judges, and this
yes.
is why we were very grateful that we had over 220. I don't know what the final number was. That President Trump appointed pro-life judges that Mitch McConnell's credit, he stewarded through the Senate, and we all worked very hard to make sure, because it is essential. Such a small percentage of cases make it all the way to the Supreme Court. Many of them mm-hmm. are settled at the much lower level. So particularly those circuit court level judges, but even below that, are really important. That a lot of law is made.
Yes.
At that lower level.
Yes, and as we say in law, bad facts make bad law.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of times what we end up seeing at the Supreme Court in that maybe 1% of those mm-hmm. cases, we really want to lay the groundwork.
Sure.
So we'll be right back here on Just the Truth with the last segment already. The conversations always go by so quickly. I'm so grateful to have Penny Nance, the CEO and President of Concerned Women for America, joining me. We'll be right back on Just the Truth.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Just the Truth, and it's our final segment already with Penny Nance, who is the president and CEO of Concerned Women for America. And so, Penny, for those who, of course, are just so grateful for everything that Concerned Women for America is doing, what is the organizational involvement in, I think, some of these other issues
yes.
that we haven't talked about, and how can people join your efforts?
Well, and we have 7 core issues, Jenna, so it's a very wide spectrum of issues that we're working on, and just our basic issues of support for life is first and foremost, support for marriage and family, national sovereignty, the issue of local control of education. Oh my goodness, school openings. Kids need to go back to school. Moms need to be able to, work and provide for their families in so much to say there. The issue of sexual exploitation. We have worked very long and hard on the issue of sex trafficking, providing DNA testing for rape kits in this country. There's a backlog of those. There's so much I could say on that issue. And support for Israel. I feel like I left one out. But anyway, regardless, I'm just really grateful. We're a 40-year-old organization. We're not new kids on the block. Founded by Dr. Beverly LaHaye in response to the ERA, which There's nothing new under the sun. We've already talked about that. It's still out there. You, wow. People who don't recognize that it died a death in 1979. But we did just have in North Dakota, the state just passed a law saying we're not in it, we're out, you know. And so we're working hard to make sure that women's rights are protected, that the intrinsic value of women and the right to life is recognized, because the Equal Rights Amendment actually goes after that on a constitutional level. So yeah. The ERA puts, you know, gender, false notion of women in the Constitution, and the Equality Act tells us what that means. And so we are working hard. Concerned Women for America has about 500,000 members around this country. We have over 400 chapters, and so people want to come to concernedwomen.org. Then find out how to sign up. And of course, you know, follow us on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter. I am at PY Nance on Twitter, and you and I follow each other and often converse. Yes. And so we are just really growing our voice at this moment. This is a time where I think it is the Esther moment for conservative women. I think that women today, whether you are a young woman, an older woman, a woman older than us, older than me, this is the time where what you say matters. Messenger matters. Of course, our voices have always mattered. But I think at this moment, it is even more essential for Christian women to speak truth with power, to speak into the culture, and in order to be salt and light in the culture and to preserve the future for our children. Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States when men were free. I think that's more true today than it's ever been before. And so absolutely, we are calling out to women, the ones that are watching right now that are saying, yes, I agree, to give them the tools in order to speak into our culture and in order to be difference makers and in order to engage and engage thoughtfully and winsomely, because we want to bring people to our side.
Absolutely.
We believe that we have the winning ideas. We believe we know truth. And so let's share it. Let's do it.
And that's truly conserving our rule of law and what this country was founded on. And that's such a wonderful explanation of how people can get involved, because one of the number one things I hear from people who watch the show, who are engaged, they say, what can I do? Yes. I want to be involved. We have many passionate Americans out there of all stripes who want to be involved. So so it's concernedwomen.org.
So there you can learn about Concerned Women for America, but also Young Women for America High School and Collegiate Chapters. We really want to grow our footprint, our voice at this moment in order to speak truth and to make a difference and to get everything back on track.
Oh, amen. And to the women who are Christians, who want to be more engaged, but, you know, kind of have this notion that women need to be more meek and quiet. I don't believe that that's actually what the Bible teaches. And if you actually go and look at the Proverbs 31 woman, she was a strong woman.
She was.
And, you know, and partnered with men, of course, you know, with her husband, we're all part of families, and we respect the traditional unit. And so I think it's wonderful the work that you're doing, and you're encouraging women to use our voice, use our influence, and speak truth in love.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Penny, thank you so much for joining me on Just the Truth. And I'm so excited, and I really hope that you see such a growth in Concerned Women for America over the next generation, and we pass the flame of liberty. So, what's your last encouragement, I guess, to women and to pastors too?
Oh goodness, so much. Well, I just want to say to pastors that they need to look to the first century Christians. Certainly, look to the Bible. Sometimes pastors say to me, "What can we do to help you?" And what I say is, preach the Bible, all of it. Preach all of it, and do so with love, but speak truth at this moment so that you can prepare your congregation in order to go up against the hard questions of the day to be prepared. And I would just encourage the women that are listening that you have more tools and opportunity now than you ever had in your... I never agreed with Hillary Clinton, I don't think, of anything, except when she said, there's never been a better time in the world to be alive as a woman than today. And that's true. We have more freedom, and we have more freedom in this country than we do anywhere else. And so we are just thankful that we were... First, that we have, you know, Christ who died for us, who loves us, and that we have redemption because we need it every single day. We are broken like everybody else, and we believe in the mercy of God and depend on it. But also that we were born here in this country, in this beautiful country in which your vote matters. Ask Marion Meeks.
Yes, why the six votes or seven matters. Absolutely.
Your vote matters. So, like, don't ever be discouraged, and don't ever feel like you can't tell the truth, because we will help prepare you.
Absolutely.
Now's your time to speak.
Great. Well, Penny, Nance, go to concernedwomen.org, and we're going right now to Just the Word. Hebrews 12, 1-2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God."
That's it for this episode of Just the Truth. I'm Jenna Ellis, and we are sponsored by the Thomas More Society, which is a not-for-profit national public interest law firm dedicated to restoring respect in law for life, family, and religious liberty. You can find out more about the Thomas More Society and the incredible work that we do there at thomasmoresociety.org. And I will be back tomorrow and every Monday through Friday here on Just the Truth.